This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code MORNING at checkout and get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Coming up on TMS, there's no pressure.
Deadpool kills it in Russia.
Kanye West freaked out backstage.
Man woke up with a what on his leg?
Do you see my tiny Groot?
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It tastes like chewy, creamy candy. But it's really good food that's good for you.
Not at Burger King. The Morning Stream.
I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. Today is Thursday, the 18th of February, 2016. Ah, can't get the date right, Brian.
Yeah.
It's me, Scott Johnson, and Tim Brian Ibbett, and we're doing it, man.
We're doing it in 2016, people. 2016.
The year of our Lord. Isn't that what they say? Who says that? No one says that anymore?
No one says that anymore.
How come? How come that's fallen out of favor? Why not have that?
We've given them enough years, haven't we? I mean, come on. How many were we going to give them?
It's a valid point.
I mean, you know. Yeah. You can take credit for the first 1,000, but after that, it's really just, you
After
know.
That, it's gravy, as the kids
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
The year of our chicken.
The year of
what
our chicken.
What? It's a monkey, isn't it? What? What? There it is.
There it is.
What? That's what I said.
That was Brian was just doing. Anyway, we're here and it's the end of the week. That means today you get two of us. You get us two, but then you get two shows. You get this one, and then
right.
at 1 p.m. this afternoon, you get a p.m. edition, also broadcast live, but then put on the hard drive and then, MP3'd and all that for the next day. So
right.
extra
you
show.
You get four of us. If you're doing the math correctly.
Whoa.
Two now.
Yeah.
And then two later or tomorrow, depending on how you get the show.
Yeah.
It's four.
Like Deadpool says, breaking the fourth wall within a fourth wall is like 16 walls.
16 walls, exactly. Oh, does that mean that they get two times two of us? Because that would totally change these things up.
Oh, hold on. How does it happen? That's exponential growth, though. That doesn't work with us, right? There's literally only going to be four of us.
So, yeah, there would be even if it was two times two, is my joke.
If there were... You know what? Math jokes are hard around me because I'm no good at math.
Right.
Never have been.
All right.
What did you test best in school, if you had to say? Like, what was your big subjects that you walked away from those weird tests and went, yeah,
well,
look at that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess art was the subject I think I did the best in. But as far as testing, math, I think was my thing.
Oh, interesting. So for me, that's really... Okay, I'm in the presence of greatness here. So
no, you're in the presence of somebody who likes numbers.
All right. Well, here's how it went for me. Ready for this?
That's why I gamble, Scott, because house edge, 0.5%.
Is that the
deal? If I bet this ace, then what are the chances there's another ace in that deck? There's three aces left, which means there's a 3 in 52% chance for
answering. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Listen.
I'm not really that. I'm not Rain Man here.
Yeah, I was going to say, listen to Charlie Babbitt. We need to go to Vegas and figure this out.
Got seven outs still left in the deck. There's three sevens showing on the flop.
Do you still have to watch Wapner, though, when you're done?
Yes, I do.
You're a good driver? All right, great. So anyways, my point with all of that was what? My point was, mine was science, which you'd think, you know, math would help that, right? You'd think I'd score higher in science the better math I did, but I killed it in science and killed it in art, visual arts. And then it was like English and then like, you know, I don't know what else after that. But then math way at the bottom. Math was down there licking the souls of the common people.
I don't think that there's anybody listening to this show who would have a hard time believing that.
You don't think it's a surprise? You don't think it's a shock?
That's why there's a little jingle, Scott does math.
Yeah. Anytime anyone on the show goes, well, let's see, if you take 20 years and add that to the thing, how many times does Steven Spielberg blah, 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 and I'll just go... You better answer that, man. Freaking, I don't know.
He was born in 1920. He died in 1990. How old would that make him?
Yeah. Here's me with time zones. I have to go like this. All right, if it's... watch my hand, chat room. Pacific time, that means it's 1 o'clock. So 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's 4 p.m. Eastern, and then I have to say it like a question because I'm not sure. That's how bad I am. It's okay. I'm here to admit it. I'm not here to hide anything. I'm not here to pretend I'm not something I
Hence why like a couple of you guys were late for Film Sack about a month ago.
Yeah, that was totally me. And that was totally... Who was the other one that was late? Oh, it was Randy.
Randy, yeah. It was me and Dunaway sitting in Skype going, what are you doing a Film Sack today?
You guys had it right. We were complete idiots about it. Now, I don't... you know that I'm bad at it. What's Randy's excuse?
Yeah, no, he's got no excuse.
I found it. Here's his excuse.
I've moved Catwoman.
He moved
Catwoman. Oh, well, there it is. Yeah, see? Yeah. And we all know that you've moved Catwoman forward in the spring, and you moved Catwoman back in the fall.
If she comes out of her hole and sees her shadow...
That's right.
Then there's no more Catwoman movies. Yay! all right, I have a complaint. This all is right. A civic complaint I would like to make. I live in an area that is rapidly growing. We are experiencing growth at a rapid rate. All very good growth, mind you. Like in the bottom line of things, it's helping everyone's home values increase. It's expanding the community in a way that everyone is pretty pleased with. All these things are true. Mm-hmm. Very happy with all of that. It's fine.
Sure.
Here's my problem. They are putting up stuff next to us and across the street from us, especially across the street where it's townhomes, and that means a bunch of separate homes that all have their own separate water systems, right? And you can tell the minute they turned all that shit on, Brian, because suddenly my water pressure went to poop. So I get up to brush teeth or flush a toilet or whatever I got to do, which I try to do at the same time, if you know what I'm saying.
Really? Do you do all that in the shower?
No, I'm not. I'm not a shower toothbrusher.
Incinerator.
People that do that, I kind of am jealous of someone who brushes their teeth in the shower. How do you do it? Like, do you keep your stuff in there? That's a weird thing to do.
I shave in the shower, but that's about it.
I don't even do that. Well, you have a head thing you do.
I have a head thing. Yeah. Correct.
I need to start shaking it up. I need to change my lifestyle. Hello. Just to... Listen, you shake it more than three times, you're... what's the old phrase?
Right.
Anyway, So the water is all jacked up, and it's all because all of these new infrastructures went into place where people got new water to these new places, and it's siphoning it off the city water, which is, everyone is supposed to be able to tap into, and it has changed my pressure. Now, some of you civil engineers out there are going, no, wait, that's not supposed to happen, Scott. That's supposed to be, one giant pressure pipe, and then everyone gets the spread out equal pressure to all of the things. I agree with you. That's how it's supposed to freaking be. Right.
No, and instead it's like taking a shower at 9 o'clock in the morning on the second day of Dragon Con at the Atlanta Hilton.
Yes, yes. And it's not affecting the heat of my water because that's all handled internally, right? We have our own water heater.
Sure, you've got a water heater. Yep.
Sure, but what it's causing is this weird leakage on the water heater because the pressure keeps fluctuating. Mm. It's causing less pressure, or you'll be in the kitchen doing something and suddenly the pressure will go to like nothing.
Right.
And then it'll go and go full blast again. So it's something's not right. There's a gauge somewhere that's jacked up. I don't know who to call about this. Who do you call? Do you call you don't call a plumber because that's just you. It's clearly not me that's doing this. We know the day they turned the water on because we were told they were going to. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing any other neighbors complain about it. So I think there's some between me and the thing there.
Get me the city on the line.
Yeah, get me the
operator. Get me the city of Utah.
Get me the comptroller. So who do I talk to? I don't know who to talk to.
I don't know who you talk to.
Do I call the city? Is it a municipal thing?
In Arvada, we'd call the city of Arvada. We would call the city of Arvada water. Like there's a utilities commission or utilities.
All right. Do they have a name like Arvada Water or something like that?
I think so, yeah. I think you go to yourcitynamegov on the web and then look for utilities.
Hey, should I call Flint, Michigan about it?
Let's see, they have control of it.
Oh, they have great ideas about water in Flint. Let's get that going.
Sure, they've got a lot to say.
I'm sure they do.
You're having bad water pressure. Oh, we're sad for you.
So I'm going to call the ombudsman or the comptroller. And or Janice in accounting.
The ombudsman is just the guy who apologizes for the mistakes they made in the newspaper.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it sounds like a guy in charge of something.
It does.
It?
Oh, totally. I'm the ombudsman.
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman. It's a terrible really name. Dumb. It really is an awkward name to say, too.
I don't like to say it, and I'm not going to anymore. But I need help. I need someone out there who knows something. So chat room, kick it up a notch. Drop us a line. You tell me. I know we have smart people in this audience. So what is my best course of action? And it's not, the ironic-y thing.
Tell me the ironic-y thing.
The ironic-y thing is that my shower seems unaffected. normal pressure.
Oh, I thought that's where you said that the water pressure was noticeably...
Nope. Toilet, okay. Sink, and kitchen. Those are my three places. And sometimes the toilet's like... like a Canadian toilet. Just like awesome, you know?
Yeah, we're getting everything out, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And then there's sometimes where it's like, it'll start to go... And then it'll go... And it's not because I'm jamming stuff in there. Okay? All right? Okay.
Okay.
Moving on. Did you know? I didn't know this. This is news to me.
All right.
Let me see if I can get this to work. So I have now a way for people at home to see this web page that I'm holding up.
Oh, funny, because I was going to put an image in there, but whatever.
Well, I'm going to show the actual video so they can see video.
Okay, show the video.
Now, Siv is calling, though. I'm going to take his call first. Let's see what Siv's doing.
He's important. I think he's got something to say about your water, actually.
Well, and he's in the fine state of Colorado. And
my God, it's like I'm in Raid.
It's real
wait.
Weird.
No, that would be just Siv, not
yeah,
you.
I wouldn't be there. Not now, anyway. Siv, hello. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, man. What's going on?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are, too. Scott calling about your water pressure problem.
Thanks, man. I could use all the help I can get. You're not just a great Overwatch partner player, but you're an excellent water advisor. So go ahead.
I'm also a civil engineer, and I do know a thing or two about water.
Okay.
What you're experiencing is pretty normal. Typically, when they expand the water system, they use these interlocking valves to regulate the pressure. And it's a really, really complicated system because there's probably like 500 of these pressure regulators in your water grid. And just takes time for that to kind of balance out. Additionally, they might be doing some testing where they're, you know, blowing a fire sprinkler system or opening a fire hydrant, things like that. That can definitely drop your pressure, you know.
Do you think it's a short-term thing that I should just not worry about it and see how things go in a week or something?
Yeah, probably a week would kind of stabilize it, you know, or I mean, if it continues after all that construction is done and buttoned up and people are living there, then that's an issue. But I would say while they're still building stuff, I wouldn't worry too much about it. It's annoying, but really a whole lot.
I'd forgotten that you're a civil engineer, and I just need to say something about this. You, Tyler Shaw is your real name. Which we all think sounds like an evil henchman or something.
And your address is.
Yeah, your address is. And your phone number is this. No, you're this guy with like this very professional job, civil engineer, knows all these things. It's a kind of a big deal. But at the same time, you can roll around.
You tank like a boss.
You tank like a boss. You shoot real good with whoever you're really into in Overwatch at the time. You know some good hero stuff, except for that time you popped out of dragon mode. And and he's also like a really accomplished guitarist. Like all of these things. I feel like we're talking to a real Renaissance man on the line right now.
We are.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's impressive
to me. If only he had a better phone.
Yeah. I think John should be chewed out for giving you so much shit, his phone.
Well, you know. I just shoot John in the head while I'm playing Overwatch, and I feel a lot better.
Yeah, everyone feels better when you do that, actually, so keep that up. All right, well, keep civil engineering in a very civil way, won't you? And we'll talk to you soon. All right. Good man, that's Siv.
Is that why his name is Siv? Civil engineer?
That's a good point, Siv.
Should have asked him that while he was on the phone.
Well, it's S-I-V.
Right.
So that could mean, like, Siv, like, it's leaking like a sieve.
That'd be S-I-E-V-E.
Oh, well, shit. You know where I scored
Did well in spelling.
Well, you know who's blowing... I got to tell you this. You know who's blowing my mind right now is my son, I thought was just like me, kind of a doughhead like me.
Uh-huh.
He is a spelling genius. Like, I'll walk into the room and go, hey, Kim, how do you spell gargantuan? And he'll go, G-A-R-R-R-R-R. Like, he'll do it.
Did he do our show notes?
I didn't expect this. I wasn't expecting this from my flesh and blood. I'm freaked out by it, to be honest. Anyway. All right. So did you know that McDonald's open sauced the Big Mac recipe a couple of years ago? Did you know that this secret recipe we always thought was a secret, they were never going to tell anyone about their secret sauce? It's totally out there now. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
I keep saying Microsoft. Do you know McDonald's did that? They open sourced it, but they call it open sauced it. Yeah. Get it? Open sauce.
Yeah, sauce because of secret sauce.
Sounds like a guy in Massachusetts saying it. Open sauce.
Open sauce. Hey, we've open sauced the Big Mac.
Did you open sauce the Big Mac yet? Well, they did. I'm going to play a little video. People can watch and hear it here.
Hi, I'm Chef Dan Cadreau. I'm the executive chef for McDonald's. And we have a question here from Christine from Oshawa. What is in the sauce that is in the Big Mac? Well, Christine, quite honestly, the ingredients have been available in the restaurant or as well now on the internet for many years, so not really a secret. But what we're going to do today is we're going to make a version of the Big Mac with ingredients that are similar that you could buy at your local grocery store, okay? I'm going to be a little less formal, and I'm going to take off my uniform.
Whoa, what? This video just took a turn, dude. Hold on, let's see.
And we're just going to have some fun cooking.
Okay.
He's just a couple volume notches higher than Ken Kratz, but he's Kratz-esque.
He is Kratz-esque. Well, anyway, there's a whole video
take
that...
Take off my apron. I'm going to show you how I make the secret sauce.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me laugh. All right. Anyway, I just something I wanted to point out. And then finally, Brian, Geek Bowl
yes.
X. Tell me what's going on.
Yes,
I'm so
this
excited.
This weekend, baby, is Geek Bowl 10 here in Denver. So this is the thing that I go to every year. I did it a couple years ago in Austin. We took first place. Brian Brushwood was there to witness the incredibility.
He can confirm that you
he can confirm. This. He can. He actually saw me up on stage last year. We were in Albuquerque. Home of Blue Meth.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that's right. And you brought Blue Meth home.
We brought Blue Meth home. Mm-hmm. Joe Gates was there of Gates of Imagination. He was there to see us take second place.
Yeah.
So we're here to reclaim our throne this Saturday at the Magnus Arena at Denver University. There are tickets available to go and spectate. There are no more tickets available to compete. But... if you do want to, if you're in Denver and you want to go check it out, it's like 7 p.m. on Saturday. It's always a blast. And they're going to have the heavy metal, Metalici, which is the Metallica mariachi band.
No
that's
way.
That's going to be performing. Yeah.
That's a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Oh, that's
glorious. I've played them, I think, even. I don't know about on this show, but I've played them.
Wow. That's amazing. We need
Metalici.
To play them. Yeah, we need to play them on this show if we have not done
Metallici,
that.
Metallici, I guess would be pronounce it. But me and the rest of the team, we're Team Mothra. We even have T-shirts this year, so look for photos of us in our matching T-shirts at some point over the weekend, Saturday.
All right. I'm jazzed for you. I remember that was a lot of fun for you before, and it must be nice to have it on your home turf there.
It is. It certainly is, yeah.
I'm always under the impression the reason that away games are harder for sports teams than home games isn't because, oh, this field is unfamiliar or something like that. It's that their lives are disrupted in such a way that they had to carry a bunch of bags someplace. They had to travel on an airplane. Like, they had to just do... You're disrupting your normal flow. You're in a different time zone, potentially. Like, all of those things can affect the bottom line, i.e. playing well, or in your case, trivia, doing good trivia.
Well, let me put it this way, though. We've... this will be the 10th year that we've competed. We won in year 5 and we won in year 8 and came in second in year 9. And only one of those games was in Denver. So, So I don't necessarily subscribe to your theory. We did well in Austin.
That's true. You did really good in Austin. And you travel well anyway, so it's not really a problem. But it just, I always wonder about that the home field advantage. I wonder what that actually is.
Well, we'll see. Because the teams that we're usually like up on stage with at the very end when they do the countdown of the top 5 teams, there's usually 2 or 3 from Denver. Denver is a big competitive town for geeks who drink. And even when it was in Austin, we had, you know, it was a team from Philly, it was a team from Austin, and then it was 3 teams from Denver up on stage at the end. Mm. And last year, probably pretty close to the same thing. So, it should be, it'll be highly competitive, and we're hoping we can do well.
Well, I have high hopes and faith in your abilities.
And you know what? I'm going to help Iceworm out. I'm going to give him questions from Geek Bowl next week to use for Stump Daryl.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. Also, Siv is a good father. I meant to mention that.
Hey, yes.
I wanted to get back to how Tyler is all things to all people. And
he's everything to everyone, as Everclear might say.
Yeah. And he is one of the nicest guys in the community. So thanks again, Siv, for calling in. Let's call Daryl now. I don't see why we shouldn't call him, except to say that, well, no, there is no reason. Let's just call him. Also, we're taking your call there at home, watching live, 801-895-4724. You could be the person who picks Daryl's answer right today, and if you do, you'll win an avatar, a digital avatar that no one else gets at all. Ooh. But you'll get it. Here's his theme. Whoop, here's his theme.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Stump Daryl, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Shades of Vengeance. It's back with Era Liars. Did we ever figure... We said it was liars, right? Yes.
Yeah.
A game when you're not adventurers, adventuring is too dangerous. Instead, you go into the taverns and tell tales of your amazing quests. All of the gold and glory with none of the risk. The full-color rulebook can be yours for £1. That's about $1.50. It's on Kickstarter now at tinyurl.com/LiarsPocket, LYRES-pocket.
Lovely. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Dear caller, are you there? Who's this?
Yes, I am. Good morning, guys. It's Anthony, also known as Takemikazuchi in the chat room.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's a
Say that one more time.
Takemikazuchi, or as you like to pronounce it, Takemikazuchi.
Yes, I always say Takemikazuchi, so Takemikazuchi.
Takemikazuchi.
I've heard all the variations before. I'm used to it.
Because in Japan, you don't actually put any emphasis on any syllable, so Takemikazuchi.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right, I like it. What does it mean? What is it? Does it have a meaning?
Actually, it's a variation of a... Well, the name is actually Takemikazuchi, which is actually a Japanese god of lightning.
Oh, good Lord, man. Go from Anthony to God of Lightning. I like that. That's pretty awesome.
I'm just going to say Takei for short.
Yeah, Takei. Takei.
That works. Oh, my.
Takei. Yeah, there you go. Well, it's good to have you on. You know the rules. The way this works is Daryl's going to be presented with a trivia question and a nerd topic. If Daryl gets it right or wrong, doesn't matter so much to you as long as you decide which it will be. And if you're right about his answer, then you'll win a digital avatar previously unavailable to anyone but you. It'll be a piece of art of mine, and it's all very exciting, obviously.
You can even date that avatar.
Yeah,
you could. They would have her way.
Sure, or you could use the, you could make a blue person.
You could connect your ponytails to it, and...
And you could use that horrible
ride
font.
Like a horse.
What's that... what's that font in that movie that everyone hates?
Comic Sans?
No, they use the... Shoot.
Papyrus.
Papyrus. And everybody was so pissed. They're like, geez, James Cameron, you spent like $9 billion on your movie and you couldn't get a better font than Papyrus.
Exactly.
That thing sucks. It's like
couldn't
free
on...
A
Bodoni oblique?
Thing was free on Windows 95 or something. Anyway, Daryl, how's it going with you? You doing all right over there? You having a good day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So far, so good.
That's good. I like that. I always like following your gym exploits at the end of the day on various days because it's usually this. Oh, I'm not going to the gym today. It's too weird or people suck or the gym was great except that lady or whatever. It's always a nice little story to be told.
Yeah, I'll be doing that tonight too.
Oh, good.
The stair climber was occupied and I couldn't get on there.
Yeah, occupado. So if you want to catch Daryl's date, my time at the gym in 140 characters or less, follow him at the Trek Nerd.
Are you not periscoping from the gym?
You should do a periscope. A periscope.
No, I get beaten up for that.
Yeah,
I think so. Actually,
pair of popes. All right, here we go. Let's get to your question. You're gonna love this topic. In the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
I have no idea.
Big challenge coming for Anthony. The wise sage Zardon. That's right, Zardon, has a robot assistant. What is the name of this robot? Here are your options. A, Rico the Robot. B, Alpha 5. Alpha 75. Alpha 5. C, Megazord. Or D, Cytron. So that's Rico the Robot, Alpha 5, Megazord, or Cytron. Those are your options. Cytron spelled with a C, by the way. C-Y-Tron. Mm-hmm. Daryl, those are gnarly. Now, before you answer, Anthony, do you think Daryl...
No. Daryl gets to answer first. Although I am curious as to if Anthony does know this.
Oh.
Because if you do know this, then you'd have a leg up when Daryl gives his answer to be able to determine if you think he's going to be right or not.
Yeah.
I am kind of actually familiar with this. I watched this when I was a kid religiously. So.
Well, that would put you, that would make you an early 90s kid. Nothing wrong with that.
That was 20 some odd years ago, so my memory does tend to get a little rusty.
Sure. Right. They got a movie coming out, so you'll be able to get all refreshed soon on what's going on.
I'm looking forward to that.
So hold on, Brian. Let me make this, get this straight. So wait, yeah. Daryl answers first, then yeah, he decides if he got it right.
We started doing this 2 days ago, or at least a day ago, or 2 days ago.
Well, it just occurred to me that if the participant knows the answer,
mm-hmm. then they have a leg up. It's what we did to keep Daryl from stacking the deck.
Right.
And saying, I'm very confident about this.
Or I don't have any idea, or whatever.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
I busted out two shitty Daryl impersonations in one second.
I don't know. It was all right. Daryl, judge that impersonation. How well did you do there?
Give it a 3.
All right.
Ooh, out of 3? Awesome.
No, okay. Out of 10.
Ouch. That's harsh.
I'm going to do one. Okay, you tell me if this sounds like you. Okay, ready? I'm going to put my mouth over the mic. Here goes. Here's my Daryl impression.
I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
Does that sound
wow,
like you?
That was dead on.
Oh, I give that a 10.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I've been working on it. Here's another one.
Oh, poo. That sounds hard.
See? It's not bad.
You need a better microphone when you record those, though.
All right. So let's have you answer it. We have no food to test. Although we have some stuff on the way, I'm told.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then you can, then we'll see how Anthony does here with your answer. So what do you think? Do you need him again? Or are you good?
Well, what was the question?
The question was, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had this wise Zardon person, and this wise Zardon had a robot assistant, and one of these is the name of that robot. Rico the Robot, Alpha 5, C, Megazord, or D, Cytron.
I wonder why he picked this. I think I know why he did this question.
He's always trying to screw with you, I know that.
I have a big, huge... 2 foot tall. No, is it, yeah, 2 foot tall. Mega.
Sorry, Brian's killing me over there. He's like, hello. talking about a wiener. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
I have a 2 foot tall Megazord thing. I don't.
It's still weird. Still something to capture. Still something to talk about in the form of a penis joke. Yep. Anyway, keep going.
Maybe I should be watching the video or something.
No. It's just,
you won't see anything.
You're just being very euphemistic with your description, but keep going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
Now I have to be very careful about what I say now.
Well, it's because you got, I can hear some business going on behind you. You got another meeting in the hall there?
Yeah, there's that. There's always that.
There's always that.
I have one of these Megazord things.
What's a Megazord? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
A big robot guy.
Oh, he's the Megazord?
The one I have has a dolphin for an arm and a bunch of other weird stuff.
Hold on a minute. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had dolphins for arms?
Is that what I... Am I thinking of the right thing? I think so.
I don't know. Maybe they were...
I never saw the thing, so I can't...
All right.
I can't give any clues one way or the other.
I had a crush. Maybe Anthony can commiserate on this. I had a small, slight, ever so slight crush on the Pink Ranger. Mm. I thought she was a cutie. And later on, she showed up in Third Watch. Remember that show?
Right, yeah.
She was an officer of the law in Third Watch. So there you go.
Officer Pink.
Yeah, Officer Pink. Yes. Mr. Pink was her name. All right, Daryl, sorry. Continue on.
I think I'm just going to go straight towards this Megazord thing and pick that, even though I have... Oh, wait. Yeah, I have no idea.
Right.
That doesn't help anybody.
He's going to fall on his Megazord.
He's going to fall on his Megazord and take one for the team. They killed me, Mal. They killed me with a sword. All right. Let's find out if you're right. And first, we'd have to ask Anthony what he thinks. Do you think he's getting it right or wrong?
I'm leaning towards he maybe getting it wrong.
You think so, do you?
No faith in Daryl's Megazord.
Your 20-year memories of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers not holding up. All right, that's fine.
Can I try again?
No, that's not how this works. Doesn't work like that at all, turns out. All right, let's find out from the judges if Daryl's right or wrong and if Anthony wins his avatar. Here we go. Oh, that's incorrect, Daryl.
Of course.
The answer is Alpha 5. Alpha 5 was his assistant. Was that the one you knew was the right answer, Anthony?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I should have asked him first. That would have been interesting to see if you got it. Alpha 5 was his assistant, and his catchphrase was saying, ay, yi, yi, yi. Oh, that, is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying that phonetically is a weird thing to make me do. Anyway, whenever there was trouble, and he does it a lot, I guess here's a clip. So here's that happening.
All this human emotion. Gordon, they're completely outnumbered.
They need the other rangers. Alpha, you must transport to the preschool and care for the remaining children.
An excellent plan, Gordon. Because it is Halloween, I will be able to pass undetected.
This is such terrible. Oh. That is terrible children's programming.
Oh, gosh. Ugh.
That's really bad.
Is anyone wondering why I never watched?
Yeah. Like, Brian, what would drive you to watch an episode of this? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's terrible. That sure didn't do it.
It would drive me away.
Ugh. All right. Well, well done, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Pink Ranger, still cute, though. She was cute.
That's almost... Oh, go ahead. That's almost as bad as Beady Beady Beady.
Yeah, yeah, almost, right. But not quite.
Same DNA, basically.
If you want to hear Daryl talk about his loss today on the regular, you can go to twitter.com/thetreknerd. You can also catch him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Anthony, congratulations. You've won. Well done. Daryl lost, but you won. And I think that's kind of a win for all of us, isn't it, Daryl?
Yes, it is.
All right. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, he goes away now. He goes away. Okay, everyone goes away. All right, Brian. That's it for that.
Wow, that was fun.
It was fun.
Congratulations, Takumi Kazuchi.
I know people fear change, but I really like how our new trivia segment is going.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm loving this segment.
Yeah, it's really good, and I really like having people call in. Thanks to everybody who tried. He was first, but many of you can try again on Monday.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's time for the news brung to you by
Nerd Punch and their very first ever 24-hour live stream for Extra Life. Nerd Punch is a group of 30-something-year-old family men embarking on our first ever charity event. On February 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, we will be gaming on twitch.tv/nerdpunch for the Extra Life charity for 24 hours straight. We're having prize drawings every hour for Steam codes and games. For more information, follow us on Twitter at nerdpunch or email us at nerdpunch@gmail.com.
Oh, I like where your head's at with that. Deadpool in the news.
Yes.
Smashes The Force Awakens box office records. Not here, though.
No?
In Russia. In Mother Russia, Brian.
Well, we know why.
Do we know why? Why do we know?
Well, it's because of Colossus.
Oh, I see. I didn't think of that.
They all love the Colossus.
I wonder how that's perceived over there. I guess they do, wouldn't they?
I don't think that's really the reason, but...
he's a Russian hero.
Yeah.
He's got the big metal muscles and the whatnot there.
And the whatnot, sure.
It's official.
Metal whatnot.
It says here, Deadpool is the highest opening weekend in Russia of all time. The comic book film already broke a lot of records at the box office following its release. The 20th Century Fox film got the biggest February weekend of all time, biggest R-rated opening of all time, and biggest President's Day four-day weekend of all time. That's really impressive, actually.
That is impressive, yeah.
The Merc with a Mouth can now take pride
in... what it unseated. Do we know what it unseated?
They don't say here. That's unfortunate. I'd like to find out. Like, what was the previous winner of the Russian...
Right.
Well, I know Force Awakens was the biggest opening previous to this, mm-hmm. and it beat that there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about R-rated. Like, what are the Ruskies into over there? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weekend at Bernie's or something.
We love the Annie Hall. Big fans of the Annie Hall.
Annie Hall.
Yes.
We think Woody.
Woody Allen, genius.
Very funny man. let's see. You know what? You know who must be having a great week? Freaking
Yakov Smirnoff?
Rob Liefeld.
Oh, sure. Him too.
He invented the damn character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got to be loving this.
And he is so decried by fans as like the worst artist anyone ever produced. Like, he's terrible at a lot of stuff he does. His stuff for Image was, you know, bordering on kind of bad. Like, he took so much shite from the comic reading public. But when it comes to Deadpool and Cable to some extent, mm-hmm. he's like a rock star, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He invented these characters.
Some of the greatest. Characters created in the 90s over there at Marvel.
He did not get nearly...
You don't see Shatterstar getting a movie.
No, no. Or Man-Thing.
Hey, come on.
I like Man-Thing.
Man-Thing did have a movie and Man-Thing's great.
It did? It had a movie?
Fear Burns. We watched it for Film Sack.
No, we didn't. That was Swamp Thing.
Oh, we haven't watched Man-Thing. There is a Man-Thing movie. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, 100% yes.
Because Man-Thing is Marvel's version of DC's Swamp Thing.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I didn't know that existed.
Those who know fear burn at the Man-Thing's touch.
That's the name of the movie?
No, that was his...
his tagline thing.
Yeah.
What's the movie called?
The thing that walks like a man. I think the movie was called Man-Thing.
How old
Came
is
out
it?
In 1994, I believe.
I have no memory of that.
Oh, man. If this is streaming.
We should.
Oh, 2005. I think there's an earlier one.
I'll watch any of them.
Yeah, 2005 was the one I'm finding on online, but I could have sworn there was an Australian-American horror film based on the comic. I could have sworn there was one in the 90s. Maybe it was on Sci-Fi Channel, but there was definitely a theater-released
version of Man-Thing.
Version of Man-Thing.
I have no memory of this, but our good buddy Jerry Conway created Man-Thing. So that's one of his deals.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Punisher, Man-Thing, right. Firestar.
Starring the great Steve Bastoni, Rachel Taylor, Alex O'Loughlin, Mark Stevens.
Who the hell are these people?
These are people who...
work for my accountant.
Right, exactly.
Jeez. Okay. I will take your word for it. Anyway, it did really well. $13.1 million in the Russian box office, which is a lot of money in Russia, I guess, for an opening weekend.
Yeah.
It seems low. Maybe they're not big movie people there. I don't know. $13.1 million. That's just not that much money.
It does seem low, yeah. Maybe I guess.
And they don't care about President's Weekend. In fact, I'm guessing they don't celebrate that.
We can buy
well.
Bread or we can see movie.
Which what do you like?
Get in line for bread or get in line for multiplex.
Multiplex is a great word for a Russian to say.
It really is. It's a fun word.
Multiplex.
To say in
Russian. Wow. All right. So good job, Russia. Good job, everybody involved with that. Yeah. Kanye West has.
He's back.
He's back. He's back, you guys. Get ready for the return of Kanye West. He called Taylor Swift a fake ass.
Oh. A fake ass? Wait.
A fake ass, he says. So I don't know if he means she has a fake ass or if she is a fake ass.
That's what I'm wondering.
Anyway, it was backstage in a rant that was rumored to have happened behind the scenes at Saturday Night Live where he recently performed.
Oh.
But nobody could prove it, and now there's audio proof. And,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I want to play it here.
These two just can't stop feuding, can they?
It might be sweary. Anyway, his total phrase was, quote, "Don't F with me." Before branding Swift, whom he claims on his new album he made famous, a fake ass.
Mm.
How did he make her famous? Because of his thing with her video?
Right, probably the I'm gonna let you finish.
But that's like making some guy famous because you shat on his car. Like,
right.
Like that's
I
not.
I think the world was fully aware of, Taylor Swift.
She was doing just fine. She was more country and stuff, but come on now. You think he really thinks this way, or do you think this is all just publicity stuff? What do you
Who
think?
Who knows? It's so hard with him because he is such a, I don't want to call him a brilliant self-promoter, but I mean, you can't argue with the results.
No. Sorry, this is playing a commercial. Stop. Stop. How do I stop it?
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
I like some of the Gaga songs. What?
Okay, I'm just... You save 15% okay, more there are like insurance. Four autoplays. This is the worst website I've ever been on. Okay.
Fox 411. All right, wow.
Here it is for real. I think this is it. I'll play this. Okay. This is some like put together thing. Okay.
Look at that shit. They took my
face
off.
Oh, it's... Listen to him swear.
Without asking. Now I'm gone. That Ann Taylor Swift, fake ass.
There he goes. Ann Taylor Swift, fake ass.
Fake ass.
She's a fake ass. All right. Thanks a lot there, buddy.
Does she know about cameras? Everybody in Atlanta right now at the Louis Vuitton store, if you black, don't go to Louis Vuitton today. That's why you need to take a meeting with Kanye West, Bernard Arnault.
What are they doing? What is he doing? I can't listen to him anymore. All right. Anyway, I'll have to go back and bleep that out.
Yeah.
That's fine. Keeping our clean tag, folks. That's the plan here.
Maintaining it one Kanye at a time.
It's not because we're prudes. I could play you a clip of Brian Ibbett right now if you want to.
Let's not.
What else is going on? Anyway, he's being a jerk to her, and oh, check this out. Then the hothead rapper went on to proclaim that he is 50% more influential than legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, Pablo Picasso, and St. Paul the Apostle.
Wait, did he just, what percentage?
He said 50% more. So he's really quantified it. He is more than half, he is half more, 50% more influential than, again, I'll read them, legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, Pablo Picasso, and St. Paul the Apostle, who, by the way, was handpicked by Jesus to deliver the gospel.
I like it that he's quantified it at 50% more.
Yep. He even says, and he includes in this group, Pablo Escobar, notorious drug runner.
He's a new larger bag of Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, 50% larger. He's supersized is what he is.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kanye. Never stop. Please, never stop.
Listen, I don't want to speak ill of anyone, but I have a feeling, this is just a feeling that I get. It's the same feeling I have about Bieber and a few others.
Sure.
This doesn't end well. Like, there will be a time where Kanye hits, let's say, his 50s and goes, oh shit, I'm not the hot young whatever anymore. And things get real weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how that all turns out, I don't know. I'm not trying to foretell horrible acts of horribleness.
Right.
I'm just saying it's not going to go well. Oh my gosh, you've made an image with Kanye West's face on top of Kylo Ren's. That is amazing.
I'm going to finish what you started, yeah. Yo.
That really fits, doesn't it?
Really fits.
Here's an article that will jump out at you with its headline alone.
Okay.
Man wakes up with huge penis tattoo on his leg.
Oh.
Huffington Post really pushing for the hard stories these days. Greg got drunk. Greg woke up to find a large penis tattoo hanging down his leg, and he can't remember a thing. Oh, Greg, says this Huffington Post article. Do you think Arianna Huffington meant for this to happen? Do you think this is what her plan was when she got up and said, we are making a website that will...
Listen, darling.
Listen. We are going to change the face of news.
More puns. I want 50% more puns in your articles, darling.
That's right. They must be things about penis tattoos, please. So here's what happened. He thought one of his friends had sketched the 8 by 2.5 inch veiny phallus.
Oh, jeez.
With a Sharpie. He tried to scrape it off and then bled instead.
Oh.
He came to the realization that it was a permanent tattoo. Okay,
Greg is an idiot if he thinks that you have to scrape Sharpie marks off your skin, too.
Yeah, I worry about Greg.
Yeah.
He says this, quote, I thought, well, that's the end of my sex, or is my life as I knew it, he told Fixers. Who the hell is Fixers? Tattoo Fixers.
Yeah.
Is that a show?
It's a British TV show, Tattoo Fixers.
Wait, what do they do? To get rid of people's tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard of this. I would watch that.
I kind of would, too.
Yeah. I only want pure...
It's going to be a lot of people removing names of ex-girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff, obviously. Without saying.
It's very rarely going to be Greg with his penis tattoo.
Greg and his penis, yeah.
Greg and his penis. Coming this fall.
That's my favorite episode of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, it was so good. Greg and his penis. Oh... Alice had the best solution ever. She really nailed it at the end.
Don Kelly says, you have shitty friends, Greg. And I say, well, they could have put it on his forehead.
Yeah, they could have. Could have been a lot worse. He can wear pants. He can't wear head pants.
And what tattoo artist? Well, I guess if he was just really drunk, then he might have been there with his friends and not be, if he was comatose, mm-hmm. no self-respecting tattoo artist would have done that and said, all right, yeah, I'm putting this on him.
I would show this to the chat room, the actual image, but it's kind of nasty, so I'm not going to show it.
No, don't show the actual image.
It's kind of gross.
Use the one that I've posted there.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
It seems appropriate.
It's a heart on somebody's arm.
Yes, it's a heart on. Heart on.
We don't need to telegraph the joke.
Heart on someone's arm. Just clearing that up for anyone who might be confused. It's a heart on.
It's a heart on somebody's arm.
Finally, hey, have you seen Tiny Groot, Brian?
I have.
Oh, I love Tiny Groot. So I was perusing majorspoilers.com, Steven Schleicher's fantastic website about pop culture, news, comics, and all that. Mm-hmm. And he was the first place I'd seen this new still There are some production stills and also news that Kurt Russell and Elizabeth Debicki. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. But Kurt Russell, we know.
Yeah, we know the Kurt Russell.
Playing too.
Yeah, he's playing. Oh, who do we know? Who's he playing?
He's playing Star-Lord's dad.
Oh, that's right. We did know that. So here is the James Gunn stuff via his Facebook page. He says, official photography on the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has started, and I couldn't be more stoked. My favorite movie as a small child was The Strongest Man in the World. So I'm glad to announce that, yes, Kurt Russell has joined the cast, and yes, he is awesome, is an awesome dude, more awesome than I could ever have imagined. The last few days, blah, 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 he talks about this Elizabeth Debicki. We got to look her up.
Okay. Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah, who's this woman? And I'm doing this slightly concerned that what may come up. Nope, there she is.
Safe search turned on?
Oh, she's lovely. She's lovely. Look at that lady.
I know her. She's on things. She's on Masters of Sex.
Oh, I didn't see that show.
It's Showtime. It's about Masters and Johnson.
Was she naked in it?
She did get naked in it.
They all do. They have to. It's part of the contract, right?
Wait, is she? Maybe she's not. I take that back. She just looks like the woman from Masters of Sex. She is not the woman from Masters of Sex.
Oh, well, she is now in our heads as the master of white ladies. She's very white.
She was in The Great Gatsby and The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
She's a very white woman. She's as white as I am.
Yes.
She burns terribly in the sun.
She will be playing the Silver Surfer.
Well, anyway, these fine folks join Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker's back, is he?
Yeah, Yondu. Come on.
I thought Yondu died.
No.
Wait. Hold on a minute now. Let's go back in Scott's memory.
Sure.
Yondu.
Yondu helped out during the final battle.
Oh, you're right. He didn't die.
He didn't die.
Okay, but no.
Karen Gillan being back is a surprise because...
Yeah, that was...
Not
we don't
that
want...
Gamora killed Nebula.
Yeah, Nebula. But she was too cool to kill. You can't
kill her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. It's comic book movies anyway.
Also, it seemed like she might have gotten away. There was like some nebulousness there.
Nah.
Get it?
I get it. Yes.
Did you do any sign of... no Lee Pace. He's not coming back. Right?
No Lee Pace. No Ronan the Accuser.
Okay. That's fine. Pie Maker out.
The Pie Maker out.
Yep. Anyway, I'm very excited.
Alton Catch Fire Dude out.
That was the movie that showed us what could be done with properties that weren't your normal Marvel fare.
Right. Lesser known and how you could, I think without Guardians of the Galaxy, would we have had Deadpool, in the comedy level and saying that, all right, we can do a comedy superhero movie and still be true to the, fans.
I agree. I think you could probably argue that it pushed it and nudged
it. Helped. Yeah, it didn't
have
hurt.
To have. And we all know, we know what's his name was pushing for years to try to get that movie made. What's his name? Brian.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Brian McCarthy.
Brian Reynolds.
Brian Reynolds. all right. Anyway, there's that. And the whole point is Tiny Groot is on the shoulder of Drax the Destroyer. And I think
right. And hopefully
great.
That doesn't mean that Groot is going to be that size throughout the whole movie.
No, my guess is either. Either through the movie or part of the movie, there will be a lot of him growing again as Groot.
Right.
And I assume
opening credits will show him growing.
Yeah. And I assume Vin Diesel's back in for the voice of Groot, right?
I would hope so. Yeah.
He's not doing anything.
No.
He's just being all Fast and Furious.
Is there another Pitch Black movie coming? No, I don't think so.
Actually,
Riddick?
Actually, I think there is a new Riddick movie. Isn't there a Riddick movie coming out?
There might be.
I think there might be. Guys, we're stopping it right here to have a quick conversation about Squarespace. At squarespace.com, a great way to make a professionally designed website without any crazy skills involved. Even you can do it is what I'm trying to say. No coding required. Everything looks beautiful, intuitive and easy to use tools. They have state-of-the-art powerful stuff behind your site to ensure security and stability, trusted by millions of people, some of the most respected brands in the world. Starts at $8 a month is all, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Think of that. Start a free trial today. No credit card required. Just give it a shot at squarespace.com. If you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code MORNING and get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Beautiful. That's all there was to tell in the news today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, though, it'll be time for Wendy and a big question for Therapy Thursday. Kind of an interesting one. And I think people will like it, so they want to come back for that. Before all that, though, as is tradition, let's play some songs.
Sure. Well, Nate wrote in and said, hey, Star Wars and Bartertown, I'm requesting a song for this special day, as it is my last day at my current job. I've been listening to the Frog Pants Network for a very long time, but I've really fallen into TMS over the last year, and you guys are so motivational, and I feel like I owe you both thanks, as late last year I started the job hunt in a specific industry we all love so much, video games. Hearing you guys talk about following your passions and the similar stories from Tadpoolers requesting songs really helped me. I did it. I start on Monday. And so to celebrate, I'd love to hear something either about quitting your job or something that brings me back to those video games that changed your life. For me, it would be Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Not only was that soundtrack awesome, but it brings me back to when I had no responsibilities and I could ditch school.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Witness me, dirty Bay Area millennial living the dream, Nate, or McLazerson in the Tadpool or online.
Love it.
Yes. Dude, I'm gonna bring you to the happy crossroads of both of your requests. So you love the soundtrack to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that featured the Dead Kennedys, and a song about quitting your job. Well, who could forget Take This Job and Shove It, famously covered by Johnny Paycheck, but originally done by David Allan Coe. How about the intersection of Dead Kennedys and Take This Job and Shove It? They covered it for their 1986 release, Bedtime for Democracy. Here are the Dead Kennedys and Take This Job and Shove It.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more. Come on and get this call to be out of working for. You see that guy is staying away, just walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more. Come on and get this call to be out of working for. You see that guy is staying away, just walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more. Factory from now on 15 years. Oh, it's time I see the world that I've been through with tears. I've seen a lot of people die, I have no bills to pay. I get the shirt right off my back if I had the nerve to stay. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. So I'm gonna let the corner be some time I'm working for. You may not try to spend my way from walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I work here no more. He's a regular on that Lambo, he's a fool. Got my lips in and haircuts, he's getting so cool. What is it, I'm on my tongue, that's he's gonna pay. I make a seat of localization, I burn the box, he didn't stay. Take this job and shove it, I ain't working no more. I won't unless it's all the reasons I've been working for. If he's a guy to get him away, he's walking out the door. Take this job and shove it, I won't hear no more. Take this job and shove it, I won't hear,
not an expert in a lot of things, but I'm pretty knowledgeable about what it takes to be president.
That's
since
right
I
here.
Were one.
Hello, this is the Morning Stream. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
All right. That was George Bush at his brother Jeb's little rally the other day. And
is that before their chest bump?
I think so, before. And yeah. Literally said this.
I'm not an expert in a lot of things, but I'm pretty knowledgeable about what it takes to be president. Since I were one.
Whoops.
You heard what I heard, right?
I heard it too.
I were one.
I were president.
Okay. Just making sure it wasn't just me hearing that. Because that was terrible. All right, it's Wendy time. And that means real help, folks.
Yeah.
Not just us talking bullshit, but actual helpful advice from one Wendy Dunford, my sister, a therapist, and more. A mother of four, a world traveler. She's good at math.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike me. Oh, hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Good.
Unlike you, what?
You were good at math growing up, right?
Yeah.
I was not. Dad and I were the math dummies, and you were the smart one with the math.
That is correct.
Yes. She always scored well in math. She got good grades in math. I never did. I did great in science and art, and that was it.
You are smart. Make my math go.
Yeah, make my math go quicker. You are, that's just the way we were growing up. So Wendy can't even draw a stick figure, but she can do all the math.
I can draw a stick figure.
Oh, okay. That's true. I'll give you the extent. Yeah, I'll give you that. Anyway, we were just talking about how terrible at math I was, and you just happened to come in right when I did it.
But do you know what's super interesting?
What's that?
There there was a time in my life where I sort of adopted the, I don't like math. Like, math is hard or boring. And then I, you know, read a couple things on girls and math. And there's a lot of messages about that math is not for girls, right? Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. that may sound like...
I had that Barbie for a while that when you pulled your string, she said math is hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. And so what's so interesting is math was never hard. I liked it. It was fine. But how... So I get it if you struggle that you could adopt that pretty easily, right? Like, yeah. Oh, math is hard. But it was so weird. And I had this moment like, what?
Yeah.
Wait. I actually like this or I'm decent at it. Where did that come from? That was like a freaky... You know, you could hear the cultural voice in your head, and you recognize it. Like, wait a minute.
Plus, you were the type that you weren't having any of that. You were like, okay,
right.
F that. I'm gonna.
Something's weird
yeah,
here.
I'm gonna do I know, really
but
good.
I just I that was such a weird experience. Yeah. So I always think, you know, when people say, "Oh, math is hard," mm-hmm. like, what? What? Where'd
well,
you get that from?
I've said on the show before. I think a couple of times mentioned how Wendy used to. Now I look back and I wish I would have done it. At the time, I thought it was super weird, but you would close your door and you would read your book out loud. So any kind of reading, and this is when she was very young, so she'd be like, I don't know, 6 or 7 or something. And you'd be in the house and you could hear Wendy upstairs going, and then he said to her, go forth and grab the thing, do the stuff, and whatever the book was, right? Some school book. And you could hear it through the whole house. Wendy in there reading books top of her lungs. And that's how you read. Was it because it kept you focused, or what was the deal there?
I don't know, but I have learned something else recently. So Sweden is a very quiet place. Mm-hmm. Like one of their national values is quiet.
Yeah.
Peace, quiet.
Yeah, shut and, up and leave us alone. Sure.
So I move here, and Americans are just louder anyway. Mm. Everywhere you go, you can always hear an American before you see them. Mm. You can spot them because they have a fanny pack on and baggy pants, but... and a belt usually, but you can spot them a mile away, but you usually hear them first. And you know, our family is, we're actually particularly really loud.
Yeah.
And I was probably reading in a normal voice is what I'm realizing as I was whispering the other day. And Adam's like, do you think you're whispering? I'm like, yeah.
Kim says this to me all the time. I try to whisper and she says, I'm not whispering. So I don't know what that is.
As mom put it, we have resonance. That was a compliment. That's why she turned our very, very loud, annoying voices into a compliment. She'd be like, you have resonance.
I think she told that to her adult friends so that they didn't think we were weird, is my thinking.
Yeah, because we're so loud. Yeah. Anyway, my kids, I have one kid who's sort of inherited the vocal cords, and it's Elliot.
Yeah.
And I've never heard anyone so loud. And I think, oh, is this it? We're just going to get louder every epigenetics is just going to get worse.
He's such a cool kid. I wish everybody could meet that kid, but you're right. He is loud and proud. Proud and loud. That's okay. It's all right. We accept it.
Yeah.
Wendy is, of course, I mentioned it before, but my sister. She's also a therapist. She helps people with real problems all the time. And she comes on the show, offers up her skills and her good-natured willingness to help to you, because you guys send in emails and you ask us questions. Mm-hmm. And man, oh man, did I get a weird one. Not a weird one. I shouldn't say a weird one. I got a question that is striking.
Different.
Very different, yeah. Different than what we usually get. It's kind of a long one. I'm going to read it. It's extremely well articulated. So if I screw it up, it's all on me. Dear Scott and Wendy, says Anonymous, I'm an 18-year-old male living in America. We assume he's American, right? Like he says he lives here.
I think he's just giving you context, but I thought, is he from somewhere else and he's just living there?
Yeah, because the nature of the question led me to wonder about that, but I think he's just an American guy. Anyway, 18-year-old living in America and will be graduating with a bachelor's degree in physics a few months from now when he turns 20. I currently plan to take... that doesn't make sense. A few months before I turn 20, sorry. I already did it. I already screwed it up. I currently
no time at all.
Yeah. I currently plan to take a year break from school and get more research and intern experience, as well as some more life experience because I am so young. Before applying to graduate school in astrophysics, I mean, this kid's got a plan. I say kid, he's an adult technically, but seems like a kid to me.
Yeah, he sounds like he's a dummy.
Yeah, a real dumb. throughout the past several years.
Math's
real hard. Past several years, I have had a developing interest in the Scandinavian countries, partially due to listening to you guys talk about it on Scott's podcast, meaning you, Wendy. It is because of this that the thought occasionally crossed my mind to visit or live in Norway later in my life. About a year ago, I discovered a new up-and-coming female musician from Norway whose music I enjoyed very much. I found this music to be very emotional, and it had a deep impact on me and my emotional side. I began to watch interviews and read up on this new artist and discovered that she had an unusual personality that I was instantly emotionally attracted to her. I have never been in a serious romantic relationship with anyone, and many of these feelings were completely new to me. We are very similar in age, and from what I can see, we have very similar interests in life. I think that comment's a bit of a turning point. But anyway, at this point, I began to develop a huge crush for this person and began to feel slightly uneasy at how strong these feelings were. I began to be a little creeped out by myself and felt almost like a stalker trying to find more out about this person and always wanting to know more about her. Farther along during my schooling, I have been thinking about graduate school, and there is very real possibility I could be accepted at a decent school in Norway. Part of me wants to go to Norway because there's a lot I like about the country and culture and the possible new life experiences I could gain while traveling. Another part of me is worried that subconsciously I want to go to Norway for the simple chance that I could meet this person. Her hometown is near the university, and see if anything happens from there. I'm constantly doubting myself. I know how unlikely it would be that something would ever come of these feelings, and that it would be very strange for her to have a seemingly random fan ask her out. My question has two parts. First, are these types of feelings healthy, and would it be normal to try to act on them? Would it be best to simply try to let this person go in my mind and move on with my life? Second, from your experience in Sweden, what advice would you give about potentially moving and studying in Norway? Thanks for any help you can provide. Anonymous. Okay. So, I mean, I wouldn't put him in stalker territory or else I don't think he'd be asking the question. So I think he can probably relax a little.
Here's
on that
what was
point.
In her garbage yesterday.
Right. Yeah. We're not quite
then
there.
Then you're a sucker.
But right. Still, if it's his first sense of a real relationship, there's got to be a place. There's got to be a direction we can put him in. Right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me give him some hope. There's like 6 million Norwegians. There's like none of them. They're like a half of LA.
Yeah, it's a very small country.
Yeah, they are. Which means you are highly likely to go to a restaurant and turn around and there's a famous Norwegian sitting next to you. Mm. And that's because it's not hard to be famous in Norway. It's not really not hard to be famous in Sweden either. Because it's really just a tiny number, right, of people. And so, but there's also a thing about Scandinavia that it's one of my favorite things is this, I forget the actual term, but it's basically like humility is like their mantra, kind of. Like, no one's better than anyone else. Everyone's equal. That's a very strong value.
Is that why that beer truck that you took a picture of said probably the best beer in the world?
Yes. Yes. Which I love. Because you think about, like, Gillette, the best a man can get, right? It's a dumb razor, and it's clearly not the best a man can get.
Yeah.
But it's the difference. That's a huge difference to me between America and Scandinavia is America. Everything is the best. You know, it's a very proud whatever. And in Sweden, it's like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's a little Canadian, you know, like, Anyway, but Norway, I think, is similar. Obviously, I'm not totally familiar with exactly, but Norway is just like the cousin of Sweden anyway. And so there is this very sort of humble sort of thing here. So you think you're all that and a bucket of chicken. No one likes you anymore. So famous people are in an interesting place here. They have like the king and queen, right? Super famous. Their kids, they took them. She drove her kids in her bicycle, in the basket in the bicycle, just like every Swede does, to and from a regular school growing up. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, just
wait, they have a queen. They have a queen and king?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
why didn't I know that?
They have no power, but they.
Right, but it's like Britain. It's like.
Yeah, exactly. Monarchy with.
Right. I didn't realize that was still a thing there. I thought that had been dumped for.
And what's kind of exciting is they changed the law in 1979 that it could go from father to daughter instead of only through sons.
Oh, wow.
So the next crown, the crown princess will be the next queen. And that'll be the first time a queen is inherited the throne.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun. Anyway, whatever. They have no power. It's that whole thing. But
aren't they all inbred, too? They all, like, have three eyes?
No, they marry, like, Germans okay. and other... They get some diversity. But okay, there's also... Like, the prince just got married last year.
Yeah.
And he's the youngest of the three kids. And he got married last year to just a regular chick. Oh. Not even... I mean, that's so typical Swede.
Really?
Like, oh, you're just like a regular person studying and working at a cafe? Okay, we're getting married. I mean, that's like what I'm talking about.
Are you giving this guy hope that she's going to see him as a regular guy and go, oh, yeah.
Well, maybe, because here's the other thing. I was listening to a podcast, and I know this is true. A guy was in Iceland, and he they were at dinner, and they were talking about this kind of thing that's in Scandinavia, and kind of people don't ever really put themselves too high above anyone else, and that's a thing. And, you know, he looks to the other table. He's like, okay, but don't look now. That's Bjork. So they're just in a dinky restaurant, and Bjork's just sitting there eating, because that's pretty normal. When you're famous, you're not special.
I'll take the check.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, if he said, I'm going to go to India and I'm going to meet a Bollywood star. Yeah, probably not. But if you're going to go to Norway and just meet like a person with a band, that's not that big a deal. So that's all I'm saying. Maybe
it's
this
not
is
out of the
advice.
Realm of possibility. Right?
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So here's the thing. He's young. He is graduating sub 20 as an astrophysicist or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Most people, there's a balance, right? There's a balance between being Peter Pan and I'm never going to grow up and I'm never going to do anything. I'm just going to play and play and play. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is, I'm going to do everything it means to be an adult really quickly. And, you know, suddenly you find yourself already being boring. Like, you've already done all that stuff and you missed having maybe some fun. Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess my advice is a little bit of, first of all, Norway's a beautiful country, one of the most expensive in the world though. So I'm going to warn you about that. Ouch. Like, everyone drives a Tesla because it's the cheapest thing for them to drive.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, they have the most Teslas per capita. And the reason is they have lots of oil. And to offset their guilt, they have huge incentive packages for purchasing electric cars.
And you know who benefits from that? America!
That's America.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Anywho, so it is very expensive. So the number one, I think, in the world, I think it's the most expensive country to live in.
Wow.
But you will enjoy a fantastic standard of life if you're somehow able to go and afford it. Meaning, you know, it's just very safe and clean and all your jive is taken care of. Lots of oil money just makes everyone cushy there. So it's good. So it's really, I mean, for me, now you're talking to the wrong person too, in the sense that maybe someone normal like his mom would be like, well, that is ridiculous. You just need to get your education. Where I'm thinking, no. Get your education. Enjoy Norway. Have an adventure. Like, you're going to grow up having your adventure too. You don't have to just do it the way maybe your dad did it, right? Mm-hmm. And the reality is, maybe you feel so connected to this girl because you jive with Norwegians. Astrophysicists in America are very similar to Norwegians. A little bit quiet, a little bit serious, a little bit, I don't know. I mean, there's a quiet thing there too. So just warning you.
Yeah.
So maybe this isn't Wendy the therapist. This is Wendy the real me, which is like, yeah, dude, of course, go crazy. The girl's just like maybe a distraction, but maybe there's like a real Norwegian girl you would really dig. It just doesn't have to be this semi-famous one. It could be someone else. You don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in high school, I thought I would eventually marry... Who was in Labyrinth, Brian? I forgot her name already.
Jennifer Connelly.
I thought I was going to marry Jennifer Connelly at one point. Not David Bowie, no. I thought I was going to marry Jennifer Connelly because I just thought, oh, she's just... Look at her. She's made for me. She's my perfect type. She's all these things. Like, everyone goes through this.
Yeah.
And I was probably, I don't know, 16 or 17 or something. And in the way your brain's working then, it's, you know, the people you worry about are that are... 45 that are obsessed with a...
I had a crush on Olivia Newton-John when I was 8.
Right. Aww. Exactly. But if you, let's say you're some 50-year-old guy and you have a crush on Taylor Swift, it's probably an issue there, you know, where you've gone too far the other direction or something. I feel like he's just got this innocent little fame crush is all.
Right. You know? And it's, you know, you don't have to be super weirded out by it quite yet. You got time. But, you know, say you go to Norway. I mean, it can't be the only reason you go. If that's the only reason, then take a 3-week vacation and try to run into her. Sure. Get it out of your system.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to go there for school and you really are drawn to the culture and, you know, the life there, then do it for the right reason. And then maybe you'll bump into her. And maybe you'll just meet another Norwegian that's similar and be like, oh, I really jive with these folks. I mean, that's a thing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it could just be that her unusual personality is the result of just the culture out there and the upbringing and that sort of thing. And that it's not necessarily just specific to her, that you might find many other people.
Sure. And you could keep this in mind. You could get there like an online relationship. You could get there and go, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. I really admire your work. And she'd go, like she could go full on Norway, right? And freak you out completely and be the least attractive person you've ever met because you can't get past the voice or something. I guess my point is, this is all going to be fantastic in your head until you hit the dirt, you know? Like until you get to the actual reality of it. And it's not always what you think it is. Like she may turn to you and go, oh, hello. And then you're like, oh my gosh, did you have kimchi for breakfast? Like what happened over here?
It's called rotten fish. That's a thing. That's
It is a thing.
The other thing you're saying I think is really important, which is how many people spend their lives wanting something, wishing something, thinking about something, and never doing it. Yeah. Ever doing it. Like right then, if you go to Norway, you're in the top 5% of humans who follow through with something that they want.
Yeah.
So like to me, there's value in that and doing it when you're young and the stakes are so low. Mm-hmm. Like I'm old and I have 4 kids I'm dragging along. I've waited too long. you go now. See, so I'm really biased. I'm probably not good to give advice on this question, but I really think you should go. You should check it out. And it's not going to kill you. You don't have to live in Norway your whole life. You don't have like
go on a vacation there. Get tickets to one of her concerts. Just don't be weird, you know. Don't go, you know, don't give her one of your jocks or something. Like
I think he's fully aware. I think that is something that he seems to be that's very apparent to him, is he doesn't want to come off as a stalker. So I think he's going to check himself before he wrecks himself in that regard.
Yeah. That's the other thing is this email gives me all sorts of hope that he's just fine. You know,
he is just fine, but it's also, it sounds like he's a very bright kid who probably didn't do much dating. He says he hasn't been on a date. What do you say about that? I missed that.
Says he's never been in any kind of serious relationship. Yeah.
Okay. So part of this, like this fantasy element of it is just that part of exploring that another part of your life. I mean, you're graduating pretty quick with a pretty intense degree. I'm guessing you haven't spent a ton of time like, I'm going to build relationships now. So it just maybe feels a little more intense because it's the first time you've allowed yourself to feel some of that or it's happened to you, and that's okay. Let us all just remember when people peak in high school, what becomes of them 10 years later. You are maybe going to like relationship peak later, and that's okay. It's good. It's healthy. It's fine. We just have sort of this warped sense of what relationship development looks like based on, you know, High School Musical, right? It shouldn't happen when you're 14.
Yeah.
But when it does, oh boy. Look at them when they're 40. They don't look good.
Are the Norwegians the ones that blow on the giant horns? Are those the ones?
No, that's Austria.
Oh, well, who? Okay. Well, what's their claim to? What's the Norway claim to thing? It's not the shoes or the windmills. That's Holland.
No.
What do they got? What are they doing over there?
You're killing me with your dumbness of Americans.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like, what's their thing? Because you can always point to something and go, oh, yeah, Germany is beer and those funky clothes they wear for Oktoberfest. And, like, the base level stereotype thing, I know most Norwegian countries I've got that, or most Scandinavian countries, but Norway, I don't know. I don't have it. What is it for them?
Well, I think it's because they're, you know, pretty small and nothing's like stereotypically whatever coming out of them. But I will tell you what they did produce. They produced what does the Fox say? That's one of their bands.
Mm, oh, that's great. Them. Okay.
Ylvis. Yeah. And they have this awesome, what's the name of the band?
Ylvis, it's Ylvis.
Yeah.
So Google them and watch them do this thing in I think they call it a talking elevator or a smart elevator or something. And they do this gag that is so funny. So it's the two band members and they sit in a hotel room and they have a camera in. It's a huge, huge hotel. And they have a camera in the elevator and they're like, and they're doing the voice. They're like, welcome to the smart elevator. If you would like, and they say, if you would like this message in Spanish or, you know, whatever. And these guys flip to so many languages. They speak Chinese.
Oh,
they
speak
Russian. It's incredible. And then they say, okay, which floor would you like to go to? And they say 22 or something. And they'll say, please clap as many times as you need for the floor you want. And so these people are clapping 22 times. It's really funny. Yes. It's really funny. They're very talented. So
I'm looking at some photos. That's freaking beautiful, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is stunning. So they're famous for the fjords, those gorgeous mountains. And
that ice hotel that was in
the ice hotel. They have one there.
James
There's
Bond
one in
thing.
Sweden mm-hmm. as well. There's Bergen is one of the most amazing. So they have a lot of these tiny towns that in the summer, like they go from 1,000 people that live there in the winter to like 50,000 that live in the summer because they look like postcards. It is absolutely stunning. So they're famous for oil and they have beautiful mountains and they are nice. They're really nice, but I don't think there's any lederhosen thing. I mean, the stereotype you're talking about. Sorry.
All right. I got so one more question. You guys are right next to them, right? You're like bunk.
Yeah.
You could border. You do literally border with Norway.
Yeah.
And then Finland kind of on the other side. That entire chunk of land is very phallic. I just wanted to point it out that there's, it looks like a big giant wiener. That's just a side note. Has nothing to do with anything, but man, good job on the wiener shape.
It has a lot to do with you.
Yeah. Has a lot more, it says a lot more about me than it does anything else. Yeah. Well, all right. I like your advice. It's like, just go there and there's nothing weird. Like part of it might be there's a mentality in Western civilization that admiration means you're weird or big fandom means you're kind of crazy. And we're getting through a lot of that. You can't go to a Comic-Con now without a billion people dressed as their favorite comic book characters. And they're all people who are older now and unafraid to admit that they're huge Captain America fans or whatever. And so that's just a small example, but we are getting to a time where you don't have to be so ashamed of what you love following or supporting or, you know, being a fan of. And
Americans version of this is, I mean, you think of what you've learned about that. Mm-hmm. It's like someone stalking someone or, you know, there's definitely elements that can be freaky, right? But we're talking about Scandinavia. Can I tell you right now, I can look at someone's car and look at their license plate. I can Google that and I can tell you when that car was purchased, how much they paid for it, their address, their name. It's like living in 1954. It's like living in 1954. Like the level of trust and transparency and non-corruptness and whatever is crazy up here. And most Americans, it took me a long time to be like, that's like everyone knowing my social security number. I mean, mm-hmm. it really is very open and information.
To dial it back a little bit, it's not like we're China over here or something where everybody's, you know, no. In fact, if anything, we are criticized for being a little too open with our data.
Well, what I mean is like private information or crime. Crime is so low. So it's not, it's like they're not. They don't know they need to be afraid yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking normal, like,
right.
You know, if I could look at your car and look up your license and know your address, wouldn't that freak you out?
No, but you can totally do that. I don't think it'd freak me out though. But I'm different though. I'm a terrible person to ask because I've embraced this future of everybody's always out there. Like it's
right.
It doesn't bother me at all. Like people are always like, I don't want to have any Facebook pictures of my 20-year-old daughter. I'm like, well, why? So just go ahead and do it. It's not like if she's naked, that's one thing. But, you know, if you got a picture at a birthday party, don't worry about it. I'm way more the other direction. So I'm a bad person to ask.
Well, and this is, I mean, it's just a cultural norm that it's never, there's not as much fear stuff, right? Anyway, but what I'm saying is he can come over here and go to her concert and she's probably just sitting at the cafe afterwards, the same place he would be getting coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no separation really between the super famous and the not.
Is that because numbers thing, do you think, a little bit too? Like
totally. It's 100% numbers thing, and it's low crime. I mean, low crime gets it has an impact on how people live their lives. High crime has an impact on how you behave, right?
Don't you think low numbers contributes to lower crime, though? Like, you just have a, just statistically speaking, you have a lower...
Do you know what it is? It's temperature.
Oh, like how hot or warm it is? Really?
Go to Vermont. There's no one's got their house locked, their car's locked, and that's still America.
The cold is my lock.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I did speak to a State Department person once and asked them about that because I went to Mexico and then I'm in Sweden and could you find two more opposite places, right? Mm-hmm. And you take a fairly corrupt situation in Mexico and the least corrupt is in Scandinavia of all governments, right? And you're like, okay, this has to do with the weather. Yeah. And he's like, actually, there's many, many studies that confirm the temperature, the average temperature and crime rates, a lot of it's related. And we know that from research with sort of mob mentality and certain things that happen. You look at any major riot in the United States and you look at the temperature. You look at when it was. It's usually in the summer.
Well,
the hottest day ever.
I have a local cop buddy who told me that all crime that he's involved with is he's in some sort of vice squad, something drug thing. He says all of that stuff takes a huge uptick. Their busy season is summer. It's all summer all the time. And in the winter, they kind of chill.
You get hot and annoyed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
hot and annoyed or comfortable. And it's easier to like rob the dude's car or stay out till 4 in the morning because it's not, you know, like all those things.
Because you're
contribute.
Not freezing to death. And, you know, in Sweden, everyone's indoors by 5 p.m.
Yeah. And there's less
so
of them.
You don't commit crime if you're home watching the Netflix.
Sure.
So anyway, it's just an interesting difference that, you know, it's always felt a little bit like I've gone back in time here a little because of it's like innocence, right? I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
Because crime is kind of takes away innocence. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, dude, go to Norway. Just have a good time.
Yeah, go there and hang out. Have a vacation at the very least. Who cares? I mean, if you have the resources to do it, just go. It's not going to hurt anything. And it'll probably give you some perspective.
Toe in the water before you jump in.
Yeah.
Right. And talk to other Norwegian girls. You may be like, oh, interesting. It's just, I really like their style of how they interact with the world. And they all speak English. So this isn't going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just go check it out, eat some sweet fish. I mean, they have some amazing fish.
And some really bad fish. So be careful.
Yeah. But he also should bring a lot of money. This is not cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. I guess it's because it's so picturesque, so small. That's just the economic laws.
No, it's because they got, I mean, all the Scandinavian countries were very poor at one point.
Yeah.
And then someone introduced the potato. And then they developed government that, you know, did a lot more than the previous government. They took away sort of. So this, like everyone's equal thing, is why there's such low crime, such low poverty, is because that is such a part of how the culture and society has developed.
Sure.
And it's intriguing to have all these refugees come who come from really the most opposite places on earth. I mean, you think of your mentality about government in Syria or in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And then you go to Sweden, you're like, what?
Yeah.
What is this place?
I'll tell you what, it's if we're talking about Scandinavia, just forget about the whole German thing though, everybody. But put that one out of your head. Everyone else, no corruption, no evil governments, but just forget about that German thing for a while. They're fine today, don't get me wrong. Had a little trouble in the 30s and 40s. Remember that? That didn't go so well. It was a little warmer down there. I don't know. Something like that. All right. The other thing I was gonna say before we close this out is that Wendy does a blog now. And it's called therapythursdays.com. And there's always something cool on there. Is there anything up this week that people should know about?
Well, there will be tonight because my kids are out of school all week and it really throws a kink in my style. Mm. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
Kink in
your style. Geez, hold on. A Johnson getting an old phrase mixed up. I can't imagine.
Yeah. The cut of your jib.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
That one's right.
That is right, but not in the right context at all.
Contextually speaking, it makes zero sense for what
cramping
we're talking about.
Your style
here.
Or...
cramping my style.
A kink in your hose.
Kinking my style.
All right. Why are they out of school? What's going on over there?
Oh, every year. They have a week off for winter break. And I think it's when most Swedes go find sun somewhere. Mm. Or they ski or do something, whatever. But it's just less time in school, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there'll be stuff up. I will put stuff up. I have a couple of... I need people to send in some questions. So, you know.
Yeah, get over there. Do that. If you don't send them there, you can send them to me. I'll still forward emails to Wendy from the Gmail account, themorningstream@gmail.com. If you guys send us those there, we'll get those. But also, go to the site, submit them there. It's super easy. TherapyThursdays.com.
Yes, and soon we will have your access. So currently you can access the therapy show on it, but soon we'll figure out how to get the therapy morning section streaming.
Yes, we've got some of them already segmented out. There's more on the way. Working with Iceworm on this, he should have. I actually need to talk to him today, see where we're at. But yes, soon the entire archive of her visits on this show will be available, so you can go back and dig through that stuff. As well. I think that's it. Anything else, Wendy? Cool. You good to go?
I think I'm good. You guys good?
Yeah. Wendy Dunford on over there on the Instagram. You can see that beer truck that says probably the best beer in Sweden or whatever it said.
The one I'm going to post today, oh my gosh, it's real. I'm not lying. So you just got to check it out. It's real.
Okay. I love it. I love that stuff. So keep posting those.
Crazy.
And people keep following her there. It's Wendy Dunford, everyone. We'll see you next week. Say hi to the kids and Adam. See you later. Okay. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
Brings us toward the end of the show, which means we're not done yet.
No.
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 No. We have emails still to do, and they're brought to you by...
Ever wanted to try out EVE Online, but you're either too scared of being scammed or blown up? Does the EVE learning cliff seem impossible to climb? Subscribe to the Cap Stable podcast and learn tips, tricks, and hear about our mistakes before you make them too. If that doesn't interest you, we have the CSM Watch podcast, where we're currently covering the next space politics election. Finally, you can join us in EVE at Alle Jagd Est Universal. Explode hilariously, friends.
Yes, they're a good group, and they continue to be good. Let's play. We're going to do these calls today. That's what we got today. Okay. We got two of them, and one of them is how the justice system works with getting new justices. Somebody's taking me to task. Let's put it that way. So here's that call.
Whoa, Scott. Calm down. It actually has been 80 years since we last appointed a justice during an election year, in the sense that Kennedy was nominated in 71, not 72. I think I have the years right, but it was nominated the year before the election year, not in the election year, and then was appointed during the election year because the process just took that gosh darn long because, well, Congress. So they're technically right. Technically. Praise Reagan, though.
All right, his year was wrong. It was 82, not 72. I don't think he meant to say 72.
Yeah.
however, that wasn't my point. I'm not saying that people get anything through in their final year. I'm saying the idea that he shouldn't even bother doing the presidential duty of suggesting one, even if they fight it and push it down. That nobody should get to tell him that he can or can't do it. That's all I was saying.
Right.
And all of them would say the exact opposite thing if Republicans were in charge right now. And the Democrats would say the exact opposite thing if Republicans were in right now. And they would be saying, don't do it during this final year. So I'm not under any illusions that both sides aren't playing this game. My point is the game sucks. Mm-hmm. That's all. The players are whoever they are, and they're always the same, and they're always here. But the game is what I'm talking about. And the game treats me like I'm an idiot, and I don't like to be treated like I'm an idiot. The only time I like to be treated like an idiot is when I do bad math or I assume Norway has a stereotype that I'm not familiar with. Okay? Those are the only two times.
It's good.
Brian, we got one for you here.
Oh, good.
Here's this.
It's Carl. I just listened to the episode where Brian talked about heaven.
Get back in the house, Carl. Oh, my gosh. That's so true, dude. He always says that. All right, here it is again.
It's Carl. I just listened to the episode where Brian talked about having a curse put on him at Stonehenge. Since I've been listening to TMS for over a year now, it's obvious to me that the curse affects Brian every time he tries.
Okay, then he cut himself off as a joke, I think. I played. Now, that wasn't me. That was him.
That's funny, really. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's trying to say your curse is, and then he was, you know, murdered.
Went into a tunnel.
Yeah, went into a tunnel or whatever. But I actually have a way of finishing a sentence. Yours is the movie theater curse.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll bet your brain was going there as he was talking, wasn't he?
Well, it's going there because it's in the show notes.
Oh, is it?
This is Brian's movie curse. Yeah.
Wait, because so you're saying since I typed a thing.
I was saying that's what put it into my head. Okay. That's what put me on the same wavelength as the words typed in front of my face.
Well, I assume that's where he was going when I first
heard
it.
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you have to do? You got to go to Stonehenge and do some sort of penance?
And have her lift the curse? Maybe I have to see a movie in near Stonehenge. I have to go to the multiplex.
The multiplex. Maybe you just need to get a gypsy to lift it. I don't know how that works. Are there gypsies can do that?
Who can help me?
Yeah. Anyone a gypsy out there? Tyler Shaw, are you also a gypsy there, Civ?
Here's the funny thing, though, about this whole thing, is that the curse affects me tangentially.
Okay.
I was the one who got cursed, yet it's Tina that's always the one who has to sit next to these crazy people. Like the woman who dumped popcorn into her lap, apologizing the whole time. Like instead of stopping pouring popcorn into her lap, she, sorry.
I love that. That was
this happens favorites. To Tina. I mean, it happens to me with Tina, but the people, Tina suffers. Tina's the front line.
Yeah, she's getting hit with the full blast of your curse.
That's right, exactly.
And you both went to Stonehenge. It was both of you getting cursed.
Right,
there,
but so. I was the only one who got cursed.
Oh, you
she didn't
one?
Curse Tina. Yeah, she just cursed me.
All right, well. Another gypsy has to lift it. I know how this stuff works.
Avra!
you could have Brad Pitt do it from that movie he was in where he played a gypsy man. Do you remember that?
Yeah, right.
What was that called?
Snatch.
Snatch. Oh, I love that movie. What a great little movie that was. That's it. Those are your calls. We have more coming, but we'll do those another day. Today at 1 o'clock, we have a new show, PM edition of this show. That's because you guys support us at patreon.com/TMS. Continue to do that. We'll continue to make it. Come back live and watch it or catch it on the podcast feed tomorrow on Friday. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Oh, tell people you put a new Coverville up yesterday and we didn't mention it.
Oh, I did. Yes. Yeah. Punk. It's punk rock, people.
Sweet.
Celebrating the birthday of Johnny Rotten, a.k.a. John Lydon of the Sex Pistols and Public Image Limited. So a couple sets of Sex Pistols and Public Image Limited covers, as well as a couple more sets of classic punk like... the Buzzcocks and Bad Brains and Gigi Allen and stuff like that. Then we top it all off with a set of requests. It's everything you could possibly want in a show and more, and it's available today at Coverville.com.
Nice. Is there any of these guys in it?
Hello there.
There is no Blink-182. There's no covers of any punk band that that came out any later than 1983, I think. So
that's because they're not really punk bands.
Against the machine because
they
put 3 shots in my latte instead of 4.
That's right. I'm naming my album Dookie and just so to be pissed. So dumb. Anyway.
And then once again, Geek Bowl 10 this weekend. If you are in the Denver area, go to geekswhodrink.com and get tickets. And I will say this. If you are coming, if you buy tickets, and you email me and let me know your shirt size, I will bring a t-shirt for you and you can, I'll give you a free Coverville t-shirt and you can cheer me on from the audience.
That's fantastic.
Tina will be there. You can hang out and sit with Tina.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
You'll both be cursed if you sit by Brian.
That's right. Just don't dump popcorn into her lap.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to see how that goes. Certainly we'll talk about it Monday when we get back to our regular scheduled shows. A new film sack this weekend, new instance episode, new current geek, the whole lineup happening this weekend. Oh, I wanted to mention this. I almost forgot. Our charity heroes event on Saturday during the experience points block will still be happening. It's from 12 p.m. Mountain to 3 p.m. Mountain. 3 hours of us, meaning me and my core co-hosts, John Jagger and Bo Schwartz, against and with all the other shows about heroes out there. We've all come together. And we've decided to do a big charity event. We're raising it for Make-A-Wish, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and it will be at frogpants.com/live. We don't want you to go to the Twitch things. We want you in the Twitch channel. So go to frogpants.com/Twitch. That'll take you straight there. And you guys can participate, have fun with us, and watch us do these live games. And we're going to be having fun, not just like regular games, like mid lane only this match, or everybody can only use their Q ability, or things like that.
Cool.
It's going to be really, really fun, and we're looking forward to raising a little money for charity. And none of it goes to us, so purely a charitable event this weekend, 12 p.m. Mountain Time at frogpants.com/Twitch. All right. It's going to do it for us, I think. Yes, that's it. We're done. Let's get out of here. Do you have music to play?
I have music to play.
Okay.
So, dear Scratch My Bum, I'm a long-time listener, but first-time requester. I celebrate a birthday on February 18th, says Baloney Ninja, and I would love to hear some Pogues or something Irish, something similar. But if you got nothing, how about testing the ship phasers?
Oh, shit. Okay, that one I have handy somewhere. It's right here. Here you go.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
So Baloney Ninja said anything Pogues or Irish. Well, all right. How about this one? And Scott, you've got the first of the two queued up. I'm only going to give you a segment of this because I don't think you can take the whole song. I can't take the whole song.
All right.
But this is pretty fun. This is Hey Ya by the Bogmen.
Okay, we'll play a bit of it here.
Right. Where we go, wife?
Woo-hoo! Where we go there? The lift or there, Tommy?
Here we go.
One, two, three, go. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so. This I know for sure. Ooh-hoo. But does she really want her? But can't stand to see me walk out the door.
I wish we were playing the whole thing. That's amazing.
No, you don't. You all really right. don't.
That's really good.
All right. How about something better? This is something Irish. This is Damien Rice and Lisa Hannigan covering Pink, Get the Party Started. This actually comes from the same series of albums, Even Better Than the Real Thing. There have been three volumes, and they come from the Irish station Today FM. Mm. The third volume is all U2 covers by Irish musicians. So, really, really good series, and you can find them on Amazon and iTunes and all those places. This is Damien Rice and Lisa Hannigan covering Pink, Get the Party Started.
I'm coming up, so you better get this party started. I'm coming up, so you better get this party started. Get this party started on a Saturday night. Everybody's waiting for me to arrive. Sending out the message to all of my friends. We'll be looking flashy in my Mercedes Benz. I got loads of stuff, got my gold diamond rings. I can go for miles if you know what I mean. Oh, I'm coming up, so you better get this party started. Oh, I'm coming up, so you better get this party started. Making my connection as I enter the room. Everybody's chilling as I set up the groove. Pumping up the volume, this brand new beat. Everybody's dancing and they're dancing for me. I'm your operator, you can call anytime. I'll be your connection to the party line. Oh, I'm coming up.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I do not have a bae.